Hello and welcome to The Laydown, a podcast where three booksellers from Gibson's Bookstore in Concord, New Hampshire chat about all things literary. My name is Ryan. My pronouns are she, her.
I'm Hillary. My pronouns are she, her.
I'm Joe. My pronouns are they, them.
Hi, friends.
Hello.
Hi, Ryan. It's been a while.
It's good to have you back for, you know, a little bit.
I know.
Before you leave us tragically.
Yes, I'm part of the Great Resignation. and the great retirement thing that is happening.
Yes. But how was the wedding?
The wedding was amazing.
Yes.
My daughter Lilith got married to Amelia, who's a doctor.
Nice.
I know, listen to me. My daughter married a doctor. And it was beautiful. It was at Canterbury Shaker Village. Mm. And there were many, many little children there dancing.
Aww.
And, it was just wonderful. Oh. It was lovely. And
the cake was beautiful.
Oh,
yes.
Thank you.
Emily came and showed it like every person in the store. It was like...
Have you seen the picture?
Okay, yeah. Well, we love Lilith. Lilith is a friend of the pod, so congratulations to them. Yay!
I actually talked about when I knew that Amelia was the right one for Lilith is the day that I said, "Oh, Amelia, I'm at work and I have a lot of advanced reader copies to give away. Would you like some?" And she said, "Could you take photos of all of them?" So I took pictures of a couple hundred books.
Oh my God.
And a couple hours later, she said, "I'm sorry this took me so long, but I had to look them all up. And here are my selections." And she asked for 50 books.
Oh,
I was
love
like,
her.
Okay.
You can
marry my child.
Welcome to the family, Amelia. That's how you know. That is amazing. So before we jump in, I always say this at the end, but I know that lots of people skip the ends of podcasts. So I do just want to like remind people that reviews on the podcatcher of your choice are super helpful. We love reviews. Give us some stars because that's how other people find us. And we only have like 2 actual written reviews. So, Merry Christmas to us. Write us some reviews. Just wanted to throw that out at the top because I always say it at the end, but I don't know. Lots of people say
it really, it really doesn't take that much effort. Like,
no.
I know I have put off writing reviews of a lot of podcasts I love, and then I do it, and I'm like, oh, I just have to say, like, this is great. Love.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I love listening.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could literally just say, like, hi, friends. And 5 stars, and that would make my day. But let's jump in. I don't know about you. I was worried that I hadn't been reading enough since the last episode, and then I got my stack of books, and I was like, oh, okay. So I will jump right in with the first couple. I just uploaded my interview with the absolutely delightful Todd Doughty. Todd is the senior VP at Doubleday. He was the, you know, head of publicity at Penguin Random House. He was, he's Aaron Morgenstern's publicist. This is how he and I met. We met at NEBA when I introduced her for the keynote. We sat at the same table for lunch and bonded, became best friends, and he has a book out, and when I say this is going to be, like, my favorite gifty book of the year, I need you to understand how serious I am. This book is the dopamine that everyone needs in their life. It's called Little Pieces of Hope, Happy Making Things in a Difficult World. It is, like, how many pages? It is 245 pages of happy. It's these little lists and little essays and little mixtapes of things that will bring you joy in your life when you're feeling down or when you're celebrating and you want to extend the celebration. This started, and this is all in my interview with Todd, but this started as an Instagram thing for him. Like, he in 2020, when everything went into lockdown, he started posting, you know, a photo to Instagram with a caption that was happy making things in a difficult world. And he would just list things that made him happy. And then other people started commenting things that, that made them happy. And he posted this like every day. And it just became this like little spark of happy that you'd be scrolling through your feed and you'd be like, oh, Todd posted a thing. And they turned it into a book, and it has these little illustrations. And it is just delightful. I just scroll by one that's happy making things in a difficult world, choosing your battles, gossip, the balloons, and the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Like, and there's a little illustration of the balloons of Snoopy, SpongeBob, and Olaf. So anyway, I just wanted to shout that one out because it is so sweet. And if you have someone in your life that you're like, I don't know what to get them, either they're going through a rough time or not, you just want to like give them something sweet and uplifting.
We're all kind of going through a rough time.
We're all going through it, so. Right? Like, it's a rough time out there.
I love the cover of that book.
It is bright yellow and just filled with these cute little illustrations. There's a dog. There's a martini. There's a mixtape. There's some hot pink peeps and a flamingo. It's a paperback. It's $16. And we have signed book plates for it. He sent us some signed book plates. So that is the first one. I had to shout that out because he was just on the podcast and he was so sweet. We were supposed to chat. And the day that we were supposed to do the interview, I came down with my daughter's cold that she so lovingly brought home from daycare. Thank you, Serafina. And I texted him and I was like, Todd, it was like 2 minutes before we were supposed to record. And I was like, Todd, I'm so sorry. Like, I cannot today. I will not get through it. I need full energy when we talk. And he was like, no problem. Like, we'll do it next week. Like, you're good. Go get better. And he texted me later that day to make sure that I was, like, in bed and taking care of myself. Aww. And he's so sweet. And he, if you listen to the interview, you will hear him ask at some point if I got the Illumicrate box for the Night Circus, which is Illumicrate. They do these, like, really fancy editions, really fancy merch. And I was like, no. People keep sending me links to it and pictures, and I didn't grab it. And like a week ago, out of the blue, he sent me a box with all of the Illumicrate merch for the Night Circus and the special edition of the book. And yeah, he's just a doll, and I adore him, and everyone should buy his book for the holidays because we all need that little, every page is a spark of dopamine. It's so good. It's so good. And then while I'm talking about interviews, let me shout out the next two. So the next one that's going to be uploaded to the feed, it's not up yet, but I'm thinking maybe this week, is Max Greenfield. You might know him as Schmidt from New Girl.
Oh, okay. I knew the name sounded familiar.
Uh-huh. He wrote the cutest little kids book. Look at that. It's so cute. It's called I Don't Want to Read This Book. And it is a book for kids who don't like to read books. And it's so cute. It kind of breaks down. So it's all about a kid being like, I don't want to read this book because words are crazy and they're spelled weird. And like, look at the word doubt. Why is there even a B in there? It makes no sense. And then, you know, sentences are crazy and I hate sentences. And then paragraphs and then chapters and like all these things, right? And as you're going along, the kid, the narrator, is starting to incorporate the things that they are complaining about. Mm-hmm. And then, but what's sweet is that, they talk about, towards the end of the book, they're like, I can't believe I'm almost done with this book. I did not want to read it. After I'm done, I'm going to need some space. And then they like, all right, fine, let's get it over with. The end, right? They finish the book, and then it keeps going. And they're like, ugh, I can't believe I just read this book. The chances of it happening ever again are infinitesimal, which is a word they learned earlier. And then the last page of the book is some space. Mm-hmm. And it's literally a picture of outer space. And it's like the kid gets their space at the end. So it's not, and he was so sweet in our interview, and he talked about how he didn't want the kids to feel like they were tricked into reading a book. It's like they know they're along for the ride, but also they still, like, they get some space at the end. And it's really cute. My four-year-old loves it. And she actually loves to read, but she really does. Like, she thinks this book is very silly. It has sort of, like, not quite the same level of silliness as the book with no pictures, but, like, a sort of similar vibe like, oh, it's a little bit unique. It's a very smart book. It's, you know, it really does, like, break down the structure of a book into these little bite-sized pieces. Like, I think teachers are going to really like this one.
And also, all the words in it are actually illustrations.
Yes.
It's, the design of it is beautiful.
The design is incredible. Yeah, there's, like...
Very engaging.
It's very fun to look at. It's very colorful and very, like, good to read. So, yeah. So keep an eye on the feeds for that interview. I'm going to try to get it up. This will go up Tuesday. Maybe I'll try to get his interview up on Wednesday or Thursday. And then the last interview of the year will be in early December. The lovely Genevieve Gornacek is coming on the podcast. She wrote The Witch's Heart, which is one of my favorite books of the year. I've been hand-selling it to everyone who's looking for any sort of mythology story. Anyone who's like, oh, I loved Circe. I'm like, read this. and I've talked about it on here before. It's the one about Angraboda, the witch, who marries Loki and bears three children with him who grow up to bring about Ragnarok. They bring about the end of the world. And her children are called monsters, but she's not a big fan of that. And it's beautifully written. It is so good. It reads like mythology, and it also reads like you're sitting by the fire and someone is telling you this story. It is super compelling. It's once you start it, like, it's so hard to put down. It's really, really fantastic. So I will be chatting with her the first week in December, and that I'll try to get that interview up like mid-December. So definitely look forward to that, and definitely grab this book, because this is going to be another great gift for folks, because I know, like, Circe has been super popular this year. Mm-hmm. Like, Madeline Miller is, like, blowing up this year thanks to TikTok. And people are looking for, what do I read next? And this has been the book that I've been handing them. This and Norse Mythology by Neil Gaiman have been the two that I'm like, try these. I think you'll like these. And then I just finished... A House at the Bottom of a Lake by Josh Malerman. It's sort of a novella. It's a short. It's like 188 pages. Super quick. Read it in one sitting. And it's really interesting. So he wrote, you know, Bird Box and Pearl and Goblin, all of which I love. And this one is, it's different in that it's a little bit creepy. But it's mostly a love story, and it's really cool. It's about these teenagers who go on a first date. They go canoeing on this lake, and it's like there's a lake that empties out into a second lake. And so they go onto this second lake because it's pretty deserted. Like, no one really knows about it. And so they're, like, hanging out there, and they notice this tunnel, and they're like, oh, that looks like it goes to a third lake. And so they squeeze through the tunnel in their canoe, and they're hanging out on this third lake that's, like, abandoned. Like, it's kind of swampy. There's, like, nothing around. There's, like, no houses or anything. And while they're hanging out on this super abandoned, tiny little third lake, they look down and they see a roof. And they realize that there's a house down there.
Okay.
And they dive down and, like, it's a fully furnished house. And they're like, what is happening? And the rest of the story is them, like, getting scuba gear and going and, like, exploring this house. And also, like, they're falling in love over the course of this summer. And then they realize that the house might not be empty. There might be someone down there. Huh? It's super good. It's very, like, haunting, but not, like, scary. Like, it's mostly sweet and, like, little bits of creepy woven in throughout. Really, really good. I read it, again, in, like, one sitting. I was like, okay. And then I have been listening to The Every by Dave Eggers, which I'm loving. I loved The Circle, which was the first one. I do think this, you could read it as a standalone if you haven't read The Circle. It sort of references things from The Circle, but it's not necessary to have read that. It's more of like, if you've read it, you kind of get some of the references a little more. But what I love about this book, and it's all, you know, like creepy invasive technology, which I just love. I would do well in this world. I would not be the one fighting the tech. I would be like, give me the next update, please. But what I love about The Every is that Dave Eggers released first the indie exclusive hardcover of The Every. You can only get the hardcover through an indie bookstore. It's not on Amazon. It's not at Walmart and Target. It's only at indie bookstores. And every hardcover, there are like, I don't even remember how many, there's like 28 different covers or something. There's all these different covers and they're different colors. And some of them have like cool illustrations. Like I bought one that's like a pulp sci-fi cover.
I love that cover.
Super great cover. And then we just got the next shipment in, and the next shipment of the indie exclusive hardcovers, they don't have slip covers, and they are silver and gold. It's like the holiday version.
They're very pretty
and shiny. And about a month after the indie exclusive hardcover came out, they did release the paperback edition that you can get anywhere, and we also have that. It's a rare situation where the hardcover and paperback are out at the same time. That almost never happens. I just love that he writes these books about these huge conglomerations and these awful corporations, and he's like, also I don't want my book available on there, thank you very much, go indies. Love him, love that for him. So yeah, I started listening to that on Libra.fm and I'm loving it, and I also bought the hardcover because I was like, yes please. And then I just got the new Catriona Ward book. She wrote The Last House on Needless Street. That came out in the U.S. earlier this year. She's a U.K. author, so her books are often available in the U.K. first, and then they come over here. So I found out about The Last House on Needless Street from a friend of mine. Shout out to Mike Castano. Hi, buddy. Who messaged me like a year and a half ago and was like, hey, can you get this book? And I was like, what is this? It had a blurb from Stephen King. It had all this buzz online, but it wasn't available anywhere except in the UK. And I was like, yeah, it doesn't look like there's even a pub date for it. So I went to Book Twitter and I was like, hey, fellow booksellers, help me out. Like, what does anyone know what's going on with this? Are we getting it? And so a few people were like, oh yeah, it's like scheduled to be released in at such and such a time. And then, you know, supply chain issues happened. And so that got pushed back a little bit, but eventually it was like, I would check up on it every couple of months, and eventually it was like, ooh, the ARCs have arrived, so it's coming, and okay, we have the official street date, like, I know when it's gonna be here, and I, like, sent them the link, and you know, with all that hype, I never got around to reading that one.
I've actually been listening to that on Libra. Have you? Them. And oh, it's really creepy.
Oh, good.
I haven't, I'm only about maybe a fifth of the way in, but it's really so, kind of scary.
Yeah, I'm very interested. I wanna do that one next. But the publisher sent me her next book. It's called Sundial, and it has such a great cover of this animal skull with this snake going in and out of the eyes, it's about this mother who is in just the worst marriage. Like, her husband cheats on her all the time, and she knows it, and she knows who he's cheating on her with, and she just, ugh. And she's got two kids, and one of them, the youngest, is very sickly. Like, she's always, like, she's very fragile. And the older one is super creepy and, like, is, you know, always talking to these imaginary friends and, like, collects animal bones. And, like, the oldest daughter and the husband are besties. They're so close. And the daughter, like, kind of hates her mother. Mm-hmm. It's just like, nope, I'm a daddy's girl. I want nothing to do with you. And the youngest daughter is very much a mommy's girl. And so you get alternating chapters of the mother and the oldest daughter. And I'm not super far into it, so I don't know if you get other perspectives as well. But I just read the first chapter from Callie, the daughter. And it turns out her imaginary friends are ghosts.
Ooh.
So that's fun. And all I know is that something happened with the mother when she was younger. And I think, I don't know if she killed someone or did a crime or witnessed something, but something happened when
she was younger.
Sounds
like that husband should not be cheating on her.
Yes. Well, that's, yeah. So I don't know. I don't know where it's going, but it's very eerie so far, and it's super, like, I started reading it before bed the other night, and the only reason I put it down was because my eyes were like, you can't, you have to sleep.
I saw you posted something on Twitter. You were like, your eyes were popping out of your head.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's 2 a.m, I have to sleep.
I have to sleep. Like, this was a bad decision, but I have to sleep. But yeah, so super, super compelling. Loving that. That's out in March. And we're going to be talking about pre-orders again in a little bit, so I will probably bring that one up again in a little bit. And then the last one, I'm just so excited. I literally just bought this about an hour ago. It is a gorgeous coffee table book called A Portrait of Walt Disney World, 50 Years of the Most Magical Place on Earth. It is just, it's you know, it's Disney's 50th anniversary, Disney World, and I am a Disney nut job. So, yeah, it's just this huge history with these amazing photographs and posters and all these stories and quotes, and I'm just super excited for it, and I think it's going to be one of my Christmas presents to myself. Maybe I'll say it's for
beautiful.
My husband, but it'll probably be for me. It's beautiful. I mean, the cover is like, it looks like concept art almost of the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, yeah. That's
it's beautiful. It's a beautiful, like, illustration painting. Oh, it's got all four parks on it. Look at that.
And it has Tinkerbell.
It has Tinkerbell. Aww. Oh, my heart. I love Disney so much. So, yeah. All right. So, that's what I have been reading.
So, like Ryan said, we're going to talk about pre-orders later. So, a lot of the books I've been reading recently are arcs that are coming out next year. So, I'm going to save those for a little bit later. But I have two that I read and really liked, both YA books. The first is The Lost Girls by Sonia Hartle. It's about a girl who was in high school in the 80s and, you know, kind of was a loner, felt like she didn't belong with everyone else. This really attractive boy starts to be interested in her and she becomes enamored by him. And he tells her that, you know, she's his first love, everything. But the catch is he's a vampire. And so if they're going to be together, she has to become a vampire.
Oh, no.
And, you know, she's 16, so of course she becomes a vampire.
Obviously.
And maybe he's not as great as he seemed.
Oh, no.
At first. So the book is now set in present day. So she had been with him for, like, 30-ish years. And he left her at a gas station. Just one day.
Oh.
And she had to figure out, like, how to survive on her own as a person who looks like she's 16 and, you know, can't get jobs. And but a really interesting thing is this vampire mythology. All vampires have to stay close to their maker.
Oh.
So she has to follow him wherever he goes. And he ends up going back to her hometown. And she meets up with two other girls who, turns out, had very similar experiences in the 50s and the 20s. And
ooh, that dastard.
Yeah. Right? So maybe she wasn't really his first love. And then he abandoned them, too.
Ugh, and scumbag.
They tell her that he's now grooming a girl. They all went to the same high school. And there's a new girl.
He likes high school girls.
He likes high school girls.
How old does he look?
They all look like 16.
Including
the guy. Okay. But he was turned in the 20s. So he's, very old. And so the other two girls who are also vampires, they're like, we need to get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't let this happen to another girl. Also, we want our lives back and we don't want to have to follow this guy around the country. And so it's about their plot to save this girl. And then the main character, Holly, you know, might catch some feelings for the girl.
Yes!
So.
I am very into this.
It's really good. The Lost Girls.
The Lost Girls. All right. I'm sold.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I do feel like if you're going to get turned into a vampire, like, be like 25. You know?
Yeah. Just like.
Just, you know. You can, like, get a job, you can, like, buy alcohol, you can vote, you can whatever. Like,
yeah, and that's, it, you know? Definitely goes into that, 16. Like, the issue of being 16 forever, and, like, she works at Taco Bell because she can't, and, like, the night he turned her, she got all dressed up and crimped her hair because it was the 80s, and then her hair can't change.
Oh, no!
So she's stuck with crimped hair for the rest of eternity.
Oh, girl. That's like the opening to one of the Christopher Moore vampire books is, like, the girl has just been turned into a vampire, and she's so mad because she's like, oh, man, now I'm stuck with this, like, extra 5 pounds that I kept meaning to lose, and, like, it's so funny. She's just, like, looking at herself like, man, I really should have taken better care of myself. She's like, oh.
So, yeah, it's a super fun one.
Oh, really, that sounds awesome. That.
And then the other one that I read recently is House of Hollow by Crystal Sutherland.
Mm.
YA horror. It is about three sisters who, when they were children, they went missing in Edinburgh when they were on holiday. And they were missing for a month.
Mm.
And then they appeared back on the same street. But with no memory of what happened to them.
Okay.
And their dad starts to notice that something just seems like a little bit off.
Mm-hmm.
And slowly their blue eyes turn black and their dark hair turns white.
They're elves. I mean, fairies.
Fairies, changelings. Yes. That is definitely. So now it's 10 years later.
Okay.
And the oldest sister disappears again. And the two younger siblings are trying to figure out what happened, and is it tied to what happened to them as children? What was that happened to them?
Mm.
They are also kind of a fixation of a true crime community, as, like, they've gone missing, and there's, you know, are they fairy changelings? What happened?
What was it?
It's super creepy, and...
Does it involve the tiny coffins?
No.
Oh,
what tiny coffins?
Look this up, podcast listeners. Edinburgh tiny coffins hidden on Arthur's seat.
Oh, okay.
Whoa. Yeah.
Interesting.
Super creepy, and it's sort of fae adjacent.
Okay, so. Interesting. Yeah, and Edinburgh is a great place to set your missing children's story. Yeah. So... It's super creepy. There's a little bit of body horror elements of it. They start, every time one of the girls gets a cut, flowers start growing out of it.
Okay.
And they don't know why. And
oh my God.
Yeah, it's very compelling. And I read it in like 2 days.
What's
it called again?
House of Hollow.
House of Hollow.
Which is the name, the oldest sister starts a fashion line, and it's the House of Hollow,
and
that sounds really
their last
cool.
name's Hollow, so
I'm reading that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. It the like beginning of it gives me like the Return vibes, which you know I love.
But also a little Jonathan like, Strange and Mr. Norrell.
Yes.
Vibe.
Like get some magic in there.
What was that one? You Let Me In. You Let Me In by Camilla Bruce. Highly recommend if you like fairy horror.
Okay. Yes.
Excellent. Very scary, very surprising ending.
Okay.
You got to get to the end.
I'm adding all of these to my list.
So, yeah, so that's what I have of things that aren't, I'm not going to talk about.
Yes,
until
we'll
later,
talk. We'll talk about the pre-orders in a little bit. Hillary, what have you been reading?
I have been reading, I just first want to talk about the nice book that I started. Still Life by Sarah Winman.
Okay.
Which has this beautiful cover. It looks like sort of Delft tiles, you know, blue and white and orange, and there's a beautiful orange and blue parrot on it. Sarah Winman wrote a book that I absolutely adored that came out maybe 5 years ago called The Tin Man.
Okay.
Which is a very small little book, but just lovely, lovely, beautiful literary fiction. And this one is much longer, and I'm only like within the first quarter of it at this point, but it begins in Tuscany, when the Allied troops are coming in, and there's an older woman, she's in her early 60s, who's an art historian, who's there trying to save art treasures, and she meets up with a young soldier who is also trying to do the same thing. And his name is Ulysses, and her name is Evelyn Skinner. Okay. And so they have this beautiful interaction over, hidden artworks that they're rescuing from the Nazis. Then Ulysses goes back to London, and much later, apparently, he goes back looking for her.
Mm-hmm.
That's as far as I understand about this book, but. Sarah Winman is an actress in addition to being a writer, and she does the recorded book of this, which I've been listening to on Libro, as well as reading the ARC that I brought home months ago. And it's a highly recommend the recording of it. She does an excellent job, and usually authors are not so great reading their own books.
Yeah.
She is wonderful, and this is the kind of book, if you're somebody who liked Anthony Doerr's All the Light We Cannot See, try this book. I think it's that kind of book. Or the other one it was reminding me of is The English Patient.
Okay.
By Michael Ondaatje.
Okay.
It came out many years ago. It's just a lovely book. Highly recommend it.
That's awesome.
And then in addition to that, I have been indulging in my sort of obsession with terrible white supremacists, white power people. There's a lot of this stuff happening right now. Ever since January 6th, I kind of am obsessing about this. I'm really worried about that that political element in the country, so I've been trying to learn as much about it as I can.
Yeah.
And I discovered this book. I heard Kathleen Belew, B-E-L-E-W, being interviewed on a podcast, and they talked about how she had written this book, and this book is terrific. It came out in 2019. It's called Bring the War Home, The White Power Movement and Paramilitary America. And her thesis is that a lot of Vietnam vets came back from Vietnam and felt very disenfranchised by the country and turned to white supremacy. And because they had been in Vietnam, they know a lot about weapons and fighting, and they're very willing to bring that war back to the United States.
Gotcha.
And so it follows a bunch of different groups that David Dukes makes an appearance in here, but there are all of these other people that you have not probably heard of.
Mm-hmm.
And they're terrifying. They start militias and compounds, steal thousands and thousands of weapons from the U.S. government, which doesn't do a very good job keeping track of them.
Yikes. Mm.
They murder a lot of people for being Jewish or gay or whatever.
Yep.
And most of those crimes are never solved to this day. And it ends, the last bit of it is about Timothy McVeigh, mm-hmm. and the Murrah Building blow up in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
But the most scary part is that Timothy McVeigh did not do that alone. He had a lot of other people working with him, and the FBI just didn't go there because it was too scary, basically, and too hard to do it. It was much easier to just blame it on Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols.
Wow.
So this is the beginning of where we are right now. Actually, the beginning of where we are right now has probably started, you know, in the 1700s
with,
you know, slavery.
Yeah, 1619.
Right, exactly. 1619.
But this is, you know, leads up to the early 2000s and you can see a direct through line between January 6th and this book. So really recommend Bring the War Home by Kathleen Belew. And then there's a book that I want to read that's coming out early December called White Hot Hate, A True Story of Domestic Terrorism in America's Heartland by Dick Lair. And this is also about white supremacy leading up to January 6th, but it's basically about how 5 years ago, during the 2016 presidential elections, a white nationalist militia known as the Crusaders began going after the Somali community. And it's that story. And it looks depressing, but very, very interesting at the same time. There are a lot of books like this around right now, and I can't stop myself from reading them. We have a lot, you know, we live in New Hampshire, and there's a lot of white supremacy here. Keep your eyes open. You'll see pickup trucks driving by that have license plates that have allusions to the Third Reich on them, and bumper stickers, and it's very creepy.
Yikes.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on. Once I get done reading those books, this book that I'm holding in my hand, actually I picked this up because it would make a great present. I gave this to my husband as a gift. My husband has a little distillery, and this is a book that a lot of people who are into cocktails and spirits have been waiting for. It's the Oxford Companion to Spirits and Cocktails, edited by David Wandrich and Noah Rothbaum. It's a really nice Christmas present, or a Hanukkah present, or a holiday gift. If you are into, you know, bartending or anything like that, or you know someone who is, it's a nice fat book that's basically in a dictionary format or an encyclopedia format. You know, I just opened it up and I see here's an entry on percolation, maturation, extraction, grappa, you know, whatever. Here's one on a whole article about the grasshopper.
Oh, interesting.
Which is a mint flavored drink. I know you're not a drinker, Ryan.
So I'm not, but it's still like, it's cool though.
And so I brought it home for my husband, and he loved it.
That's cool. Does it have drink recipes in it, or is it more?
I don't know if there's any actual drink recipes. There's more like descriptions of them.
And it's more just like, it's a companion. I mean, this is like
This is, you know, if you're a nerd about spirits and cocktails.
Yeah,
and
like I see an entry on like double straining. It's like, okay, what is it? Why do we do it? What does that do to the alcohol? What is it?
Right.
No, that's cool.
Here's one, an entry for louche, right? You know, you call someone louche, right? Meaning that they're kind of sleazy, right? It's a French term meaning cloudy, disturbed, as in silty water, shadowy, and by extension, disreputable. It is used to describe the clouding effect in absinthe when you add water to it.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So cool. It's also known as the ouzo effect.
Very interesting. So,
Spirits and Cocktails, The Oxford Companion to Spirits and Cocktails by David Wandrich and Noah Rothbaum.
Very cool.
That's it for me.
Awesome. So, this time of year, I mean every time of year, all year long, is important for this, but especially this time of year, it is important to talk about pre-orders and why they are so important and why we encourage them so highly. And we're going to talk about some books that we're really, really excited to talk about that we think you all should pre-order. And I am going to start this by saying that I made some cards that will be at the main register that you can request that say something to the effect of, I bought you something at Gibson's bookstore. It's not here yet, but they'll contact you when it is. Mm-hmm. This is a card that you can give to your friend or family member or whoever. On the day of the holiday, you can say, I bought you a book. It's just not here yet. It's coming out on blah, 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 and this is a future present.
Yeah. And they have a nice blank back, so you could write a little note about what it is.
And it's small enough to put into a card.
Yes, yeah. We purposefully made them about the size of an index card so that you can put it into a regular card. So, with that being said, first, why are pre-orders so important? Well, there's a few reasons, and we've talked about it a little bit before, but, you know, from the, like, publisher standpoint, pre-orders tell a publisher kind of how big of a print run they should make.
Yeah.
It is the first indicator of a book's popularity. If a book gets a ton of pre-orders, they know to have a large print run, whereas if a book doesn't get any pre-orders, it gets a much smaller print run. It's much less likely to get a second or third printing. And with the supply chain issues, if a book doesn't get a lot of pre-orders and then sells out of its first printing, it's gonna be a while before you get a second printing because it was not high up in the queue.
I mean, I think about with a lot of, like, the TikTok popular books that, like, they didn't get big printings because people didn't care about them that much when they came out.
Right.
And now everybody's like, why don't we have them?
Right.
Like, well, nobody pre-ordered them back in 2017 when it came out, so... Yeah.
We had no idea it was gonna be popular.
Yeah.
So that's one reason. Another reason is that pre-orders are basically a way to, it's good for a bookstore, because if you prepay for a pre-order, that helps the bookstore now, even though the book doesn't come out for several months. You know, this is sort of the time of year, it's the fourth quarter, we just had, well, Plaid Friday, but historically it's called Black Friday, and it's because Black Friday is the start of the fourth quarter, and it's usually the first time that small businesses are in the black instead of in the red all year. That's just the reality of how businesses work. They sort of operate in the red for the majority of the year. So when you place a pre-order for a book and you prepay for it, that puts money into the bookstore's, you know, circulation before the book is out. And that's just, it's just a helpful thing. It's just, yeah. It's just a good thing. And also when you prepay for a pre-order, you are guaranteeing yourself a copy of that book, no matter the print run size. Mm-hmm. You will get a copy of that book because you have ordered it and paid for it. It is yours. So, you know, and there are other reasons, but,
yeah,
you know.
One thing that I think I have run into a few times with customers is people will come in and they'll be like, such and such book just came out. Do you have it? And then we don't. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh my gosh, why don't you have it? Like, what? And our book buyers do a lot of hard work, and they do a very good job. But if they have not heard of an author or a title and nobody's pre-ordered it, they might not be getting it in. So if you have an author you really like and you're like, well, I'll get the book when it comes out, the way to guarantee it being on the shelf at a bookstore is if you're pre-ordering them. Because if we get, like, 5 pre-orders for a book, then we're probably going to get some in to keep in inventory for people too. So it's a great way to support authors that you like.
Yes. And that will also, just as an extension of that, bring it to the bookseller's attention, because we will notice, hey, there's Yeah. There's a bunch of pre-orders of this. What is this? And then we'll look it up. And then, more likely than not, we'll start hand-selling it. You know, and so, you know, I really encourage people to do pre-orders. And I have an excellent story about this that just warms my little bookseller heart.
It's so good.
So... we got, I wish I had brought the letter, but, so, okay, back to the beginning. So we get advanced reader copies in the mail all the time. Sometimes they are sent to a specific bookseller, sometimes they're just sent to the bookstore, and we kind of divvy them up, like, oh, so-and-so would like this one, it's this genre, whatever. And we got this one in, and they're usually from the publisher or a publicist. And this one, we could tell that it was from the author. And we were like, that's interesting. We didn't recognize the author's name. It wasn't someone that we knew. And I opened the package, and often advanced reader copies will come with a sort of form letter. It'll just be like, dear bookseller, this is what this book is about. Here are some blurbs from authors you might know. This is why we think you might like it. Please consider nominating it for Indie Next, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. They're great. They're very helpful for hand selling and for being like, oh, yeah, no, this is right up my alley. I will read this. So I sort of glanced at it, and within the first line, I realized this was not a form letter. This was a personalized letter to the bookstore from the author. And I read the letter, and this... author, she told this story about how a few years ago, pre-pandemic, she came to the bookstore and she was looking for what she called a plane book, P-L-A-N-E. This would be a book that she could read on a plane that would make her forget about her fear of flying. So it had to be compelling, you know, it had to be the type of book she couldn't put down, she had to, like, totally escape into it, et cetera, et cetera. And the first person that she talked to grabbed me. and I, you know, because I think she said that she liked, you know, fantasies and things like that. So I brought her over to the section, and I immediately hand-sold her a couple of Cat Howard books. I definitely know that at least one of them was An Unkindness of Magicians, because I had just finished reading that one, and I was obsessed with it. It's my favorite Cat Howard book. Really great urban fantasy novel. Just so awesome. So beautiful. Full of cathartic magic. Just real, real good. And so I sold her that and another one. And she said that not only did she read that book on the plane and it helped her forget about her fear of flying, but she kept reading it when the plane landed. She did not stop until she had finished it. And she has since read everything that Cat Howard has written. Cat Howard is now her favorite author. Mm-hmm. And she has come back to the bookstore once or twice a year. She lives in Massachusetts. She drives up the hour or two north to the bookstore to, you know, shop and chat with the booksellers and get her books. And now she has her own book coming out. Mm-hmm. And she goes on to describe this book. And at this point, I will tell you that the author's name is Liz Mikelski, and her book is called Darling Girl. And it is a reimagining of Peter Pan. And it's a very dark retelling. Peter's maybe not so great. He's had some trauma. A lot of the characters are dealing with some traumatic things. It sounds amazing. It sounds really, really good. And it explores sort of like reality and fairy tale and the blurred line between there. It just sounds incredible.
And you took the ARC home, no doubt.
I grabbed this ARC so fast when I tell you. I sprinted home with this. But what's fun about this, well, the next fun thing is that this book was blurbed by Cat Howard.
Aww.
Right?
Ryan, you're a matchmaker. And a muse.
I know. So, I mean, that is so wholesome and so sweet. And I'm so excited for this author. And you know, we have, it's available for pre-order, and we have these little pre-order cards. And May obviously 3rd. It comes out in May, and all.
Liz, I hope you put Ryan in the acknowledgement.
We are in the process of organizing some sort of event with Liz and Kat together. But what's really
what if
cool?
They got married.
Hillary's a matchmaker now.
Hillary's working on the match. What's really cool about this is that I, on a whim that morning, I made a TikTok for the Gibson's TikTok account about this story. I told this story. And we are up to like 25 pre-orders of this book from all over the country. People are like, this is amazing. This is why I love indie bookstores. This book sounds incredible, because it does.
I'm tearing up over
I here. Literally spent the whole day like on the verge of sobbing, because I was like, this is so adorable and so sweet. And this is like why we do what we do, right? This is like an example of why indie bookstores are so amazing. So yes. So that book is available for pre-order. We will most definitely be getting signed copies, and we are going to be planning some sort of event. I don't know if it will be in person or virtual. It'll sort of depend on where we're at in May. Mm-hmm. I will probably have Liz and Kat together on the podcast. But yes, so that's the first one that I had to tell that story, because I was like, oh my God. And like, here's an example. And like, we did have, I checked at the time, and we had, I think, a couple on order. Like, we were planning to get a couple into the store anyway, but now, like, we just keep increasing the size, because we're trying to stay ahead of, we want to have some on the shelf. And yeah, we're up to like 25 pre-orders, and so I think we have like 30 coming into the store or something like that, and we just keep upping it because people keep ordering it.
I want to borrow the arc once you're done.
Yes, I will definitely pass that arc around the staff, because I think everyone's going to love it. It sounds amazing. A dark Peter Pan, yes, please. So that, I just had to share that because, oh, my heart. So that is Darling Girl by Liz Mikalski. Amazing. That comes out in May. The next pre-order that I want to encourage, there is a new Hanya Yanagihara book coming out. Hanya Yanagihara wrote A Little Life, which is the saddest book I've ever read in my entire life. Like, just heartbreaking upon heartbreaking upon heartbreaking. Like, this poor main character, every possible bad thing happens, and then more bad things happen, and then more, and you cannot stop reading it, and it's beautiful. And if you just want to like wallow and be sad for a hot minute, read that huge book.
I know I have not, everybody assumes I have read it because it's queer literary fiction. And I haven't, because everybody's like, it's so sad.
It's
and
I'm so like, sad. It's,
I haven't read it either. And yeah. That's the reason why I just...
And it's huge and sad. It's like 800 or 900 pages and just the saddest thing. And to be honest, I don't know why I read it.
Yeah, it's definitely not your general
I don't usually go type. For literary fiction. I don't even, I feel like someone handed it to me and said, you should read this. And I went, okay. Like, probably Michael gave it to me.
There were people, when that book came out, there were people in this store, booksellers, who were just obsessed with it.
I mean,
and who said, it's just the most beautiful book I've ever read. You have to read it. And I kept saying, I can't. I won't sleep.
No.
You know?
You won't. I mean, I literally, I think I read it in like a weekend. Like, I couldn't stop. So this new book is called To Paradise, and I just started it. I'm like two or three chapters in, and I'm already like, oh, yes, the writing is so good. it takes place, it spans three centuries, and it says, it's a bold, brilliant novel spanning three centuries and three different versions of the American experiment about lovers, family, loss, and the elusive promise of utopia. And so I just started the first section, but there are three sections of America. One is in 1893, one is in 1993, and one is in 2093. And they all are going to sort of intersect and tie together.
And like the cloud atlas-y.
A little bit, yeah. It is fantastic so far, and I'm really excited to dive back into it and finish it because it's not as big as A Little Life. It's not as long as that one. I don't know if it will be as heartbreaking. We'll see.
Yeah. I bet it will be.
I can almost guarantee it will be. If you or someone you know really loves beautiful literary fiction, definitely pre-order To Paradise by Hanya Yanagihara. It comes out in January, so you won't have to wait super long. And I'm very excited for that one. I was telling our coworker John, I was like, oh, this is awesome. I'm so excited to read this. And he goes, do you want the arc? And I went, what? Do you have an arc? Yeah. And he was like, yeah, I'll go grab it. He came in the next day. He's like, here you go. I found it. He was like, you'll read it before I do. And I was like, yes, please. So I'm very excited for that one. I know, Joe, you have like a whole stack of pre-orders you wanted to talk about.
I do. So I'll start with the one that I'm currently reading, which is All of You, Every Single One by Beatrice Hitchman. I'm maybe 50 pages in, and it's just, it's really beautifully written, and I'm really, really enjoying it. It is about two women in 1910 who fall in love, and one of them is a tailor, and one of them is a woman who is in an unhappy marriage, and they decide to leave their home in Switzerland and go to Vienna and start over, and they kind of start to build a community in the Jewish quarter of Vienna, and it takes place from 1910 to 1946.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, we all know it's not gonna go great, but it's
heart.
Just really gorgeous, and the characters are really complicated, and it is not a love story of, like, they go off to Vienna and live happily ever after. They definitely, they only knew each other for 3 months before they decide to do this, and there are a lot of issues in their relationship, even just the first year, figuring out how to exist in this new city and this new life, and it's just really, really beautifully written, and I'm very excited to finish it. It comes out in January, so.
And the listeners won't be able to see this, but it matches your mask perfectly.
It does. And I really love the cover.
The cover is beautiful. Look at it. It's literally the same exact color.
I'll
amazing.
Have to take a picture of myself.
Yeah.
And then
it's teal.
It's
like teal and navy. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. So I'm very excited about that one. Another one that I just finished reading was Siren Queen by Nevo, who wrote The Chosen and the Beautiful.
Which we love.
I actually was on StoryGraph, and it, like, you know, keeps track of various statistics, and I read 4 Nevo books this year.
Oh my gosh!
So that's by far the most by one author that I've read this year.
That's amazing.
Because she's fantastic, and I love everything about it. And so, yeah, if I know we've definitely talked about Chosen the Beautiful, magical retelling of Great Gatsby from Jordan Baker's point of view.
It's so good.
And so Siren Queen it's like, it's very much, it could almost be the same world. Like, mm-hmm. there is a reference at one point in the book that to mm-hmm. something that is also within the world of Chosen the Beautiful. So I don't, it, yeah. So it has a very similar system of magic.
Oh,
and
I'm excited.
It's about a Chinese American girl who gets into movies in pre-code Hollywood. And so just all of the studio heads being these creepy, possibly demons mm-hmm. who've made deals to get to where they're at, and that the young actresses are like beholden to the companies. And so it again, just like Chosen and the Beautiful, takes this really, what really happened in history, these contracts and things, but makes them magic. Like, oh, I think that's what I really like about Nouveau, is it's just very natural, the magic. It just makes sense. And so when she joins Wolf Studios, she says, I'm not going to do any maids, any funny voices, or any fainting flowers. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. those are her rules. So they're like, what are we supposed to do?
Yeah.
You're a Chinese American woman, and you won't do funny voices in the 1930s in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And she ends up being cast as a siren in a series of movies. So she is a monster. And she starts to learn the power of being a monster.
Oh my god, I'm
and
so
it's queer also, just like worth,
and also it's
obviously like I almost want to recommend it to people who like The Seven Husbands of Evan Lynn Hugo.
Okay,
like if that was written by a queer person of color, about this, it's just it's so good. It was so good. So that comes out in May, and just if you haven't read anything else that Nouveau has written, just, like, come in. I will sell you all of their books.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's fantastic.
Oh my gosh.
And then I'm just going to touch on Spear by Nicola Griffith. I talked about this a couple episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
A genderqueer retelling of the story of Percival and the Knights of the Round Table.
Yes.
Really, really fantastic. That one comes out in April, and it's a little, not even 200 pages, novella. Really, really great. And then two, I just wanted to mention that I haven't read yet, but I am excited about, is I Kiss Sarah Wheeler by Casey McQuiston, who we all
love. Casey
McQuiston! Did you see Casey McQuiston's book? No, is it Casey McQuiston who wrote the one about the subway?
Yeah, One Last Stop.
One Last Stop.
Made it onto the 100 best books of the year.
Yes.
From
yeah.
Yay! Oh, that makes me so happy.
Yeah.
So this is their first YA book.
Ugh.
And so it's about a girl who moves to a new town. I believe it's her senior year, and everything's a mess. It's high school, you know. But the one thing she wants is to be valedictorian, but she has this rival, Sarah Wheeler, who is the prom queen and, like, the golden child. And then right before graduation, Sarah Wheeler kisses her and disappears.
Oh my god!
Yeah. And I know this is maybe a controversial take because, you know, manic pixie dream girl, whatever, but it gives me very queer John Green vibes, which is everything I need to...
Oh.
From life.
Yes.
So I haven't read it, but like just the synopsis, I'm really excited about
it. I'm here for it.
I wanted to be clear, but it just this like girl disappearing from
yes.
Queer John Green.
I'm into it.
Which what a perfect, like, you know what that book is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just
that gives me everything I need to know, and I want it.
Yeah, so
I want it.
And if John Green isn't your favorite, like, don't let that keep you from reading it. It's queer
and it's
2021,
McQuiston.
And it's Casey McQuiston. It's going to be great.
And if you haven't read One Last Stop, oh my god, we have failed you.
Yeah, please read One Last Stop.
Please read One Last Stop. It is incredible.
Yeah, yeah. Ugh. So, love Casey McQuiston. And then the other one I want to shout out is Anatomy, A Love Story by Dana Schwartz. And so all of my coworkers... were kind of shocked when I was talking about this, because I generally have a rule where, like, if the love story is the main thing in a book, and the couple is straight, I'm not reading it. Like, yeah. I just, that's not my thing. So everybody's like, wait, this is a straight love story and Joe's excited about it? And I'm like, yes. Yes, I am. Because Dana Schwartz, I don't know, some people will have known her from the Twitter guy in your MFA.
Oh.
Yeah. So she did that. And then she currently has a podcast called Noble Blood about nobility across the world, centuries, like just little episodes. She recently did a really good episode on Elizabeth Bathory, the person who everybody thinks of as like one of the greatest female serial killers, you know, bathed in the blood of young girls.
Yes, that one. Yep.
And she's like, she goes into the research and it's like, yeah, that might not actually be true. Ooh. It was really politically advantageous for her enemies to make this a known story. So she does a really good research into all the history that I love. So
cool.
I'm really excited. This book, it takes place in Edinburgh in the early 1800s about a girl who wants to become a surgeon, but she gets kicked out of the lectures for being a girl. She makes a deal with the professor that if she can pass an anatomy exam, she can come back to the lectures. Mm-hmm. But, you know, how are you going to pass an anatomy exam if you don't have access to any of the
things? You have to make friends with Critch and what's his name?
That's what she does! I mean, not them, but she meets a resurrection man who is a grave robber who takes bodies and, you know, sells them to the medical school. This is a thing that happened in Edinburgh, and and so they team up because she needs bodies to practice on, and then, you know.
But are there tiny coffins?
I don't know yet.
We're going to find a whole list of books about the tiny coffins, and that'll be the next episode.
That's just for next episode. And the first kiss happens in a grave. So, you know.
I'm so into this.
Yeah. So that comes out in January, and I just, knowing Dana Schwartz, it's going to be great. Anatomy, a Love Story. Mm-hmm. And the cover is fantastic. You'll have to show it to you. It's the dress. It's a girl in a red dress, but her dress is in the shape of an anatomical heart. Let me have this picture.
I have to send this to Lilis.
Yeah, Lilis will love this.
Her new wife is a pathologist who works at the medical examiner's office in New York City.
Right? That's gorgeous.
Right. Nice. Oh, yeah. Amelia would love that book.
Yeah. So, and
okay, I'm pre-ordering that.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm definitely pre-order that. We love Dana Schwartz.
Oh my God. Ugh, those all sound amazing. Hillary, do you have any specific ones you want to shout out?
I don't. I'm sorry. That's okay, because I'm prepared.
I just thought of two more.
Whisper them to me.
Yeah.
And here's the synopsis, Hillary.
We also have a stack. No, I thought of two more while Joe was talking. I can't believe I forgot to mention these. So, coming out May 3rd. A new Holly Black we're getting.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so excited. It's called Book of Night, and that's, like, all I know about it. There's, like, no official cover. Yeah. It's just, like, text on black. I don't care. I'll read it.
It kept coming up because before we did this episode, I searched, like, anticipated books in 2022 so I could, like, remind myself of what was coming out, and that,
I was like, oh, my God, new Holly Black. Yes. Please, I will read anything Holly Black writes. Yes, please. And then the other one, summer of 2022, July 12th, we're getting a new Grady Hendrix book. Yeah. I'm so excited. It's called How to Sell a Haunted House. I have no idea what it's about. I don't even think there's an actual summary yet. I don't care. I will read it.
But the title seems...
It's... I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I will pre-order it and add it to my Grady Hendrix shrine in my house, which you will understand if you listened to my interview with Grady Hendrix. And if you haven't, what are you doing? Go listen. It's so much fun. He is amazing. And I have read literally every book he's ever written. So I'm so hyped.
What's your favorite or good place to start with Grady Hendrix?
That's a great question. His are all so different.
Yeah.
Let me pull up the full list, because my gut says Horror Store, but let me pull up the whole list and just see, just in case. Let's see.
Because I feel like he's one of those authors that he has so many books and they're so different that it's kind of hard to jump into.
So I would start with Horror Store, because I feel like that's maybe the most accessible one. Because it's shorter than the others. It takes place in, you know, a furniture store that's very similar to IKEA, but it's not IKEA.
It's not IKEA.
It's called Orsk. It's way scarier than I thought it was going to be. Like, it's
okay.
It's genuinely scary.
A little silly.
It seems like, silly. And, like, his books are all, like, they're scary, but they have a lot of levity and, you know, funny moments and funny characters and things like that. But they are scary. And Horror Store is being, he's writing the film script for it right now. It's being adapted into a film, and I'm very excited. But it goes from, like, creepy to terrifying over the course of the book. And it is, and then it sort of, like, ends very, in, like, a very cathartic way. Like, it's just very satisfying.
Okay, nice.
And very cool. And it, you know, kind of looks like an IKEA manual.
It's like, very cool. Like, I love the covers of all of his books. Yes. Like, my best friend's exorcism looks like an old VHS. Case.
Super great.
I want to shout out the book that I love that Grady Hendrix put together, which is Paperbacks from Hell.
The twisted
history of 70s and 80s horror fiction. Mm-hmm. If you are into horror fiction, I highly recommend this book. Mm-hmm. First of all, it has covers.
It's gorgeous.
All the different.
It's so fun.
And if you remember that era, if you're my age, you remember that era. There, you know, there's a real certain font that was used, and certain illustrators that made these covers. But also, you will find treasures of horror in there that you have never heard of, and that are worth seeking out.
Yeah,
it's a really terrific book. That's just a list of hundreds of horror books and descriptions of what they are and which ones are really good and which ones are ridiculous and probably not shouldn't bother reading.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
But highly recommend it if you're a horror freak.
Absolutely. Some of his other ones, his most recent one is The Final Girl Support Group, which is really great. It is especially awesome if you are a fan of slashers.
Yeah.
Because you will get so many references. This book, it takes place in a universe in which slasher movies are based on real events. And so there is this support group of all of these final girls who really did survive these massacres, and they all have these, like, franchises that they sort of, like, have a love-hate relationship with. And someone starts hunting them down. One by one, they're hunting down the final girls and taking them out. It's really good, and it reads like a slasher, and there are so many nods to slashers. It's super fun. The audiobook is read by the final girl from Friday the 13th, which, again, if you listen to the interview, he tells the story of how he got her to be the audiobook narrator. She was his first final girl. He sent her the manuscript of the book on, like, a whim, and she loved it. Very, very cute. Adrienne King is her name. And then the, so Joe mentioned My Best Friend's Exorcism, and then there's the Southern Book Club's Guide to Slaying Vampires. Those two take place in the same universe.
Oh, I didn't know that.
In the same town. And so with My Best Friend's Exorcism, it's about the teenagers, and one of the friends gets possessed and they have to do an exorcism. In the Southern Book Club's Guide to Slaying Vampires, it follows the parents. It's, you know, it's not, the, it's like, I forget how many years later. I think it takes place in the 90s, maybe. So it's like, it's a while later. But it's all about these, like, moms in this book club. And there's a guy in town that they're pretty sure is a vampire. And they're going to take him down. It's awesome. It's so good. I read that one, actually, with the Jack of All Graves book club a few months ago. And it was super fun. We had a great time chatting about that. So, yes, I am a huge fan of Grady Hendrix, and How to Sell a Haunted House comes out in July, and I highly encourage everyone to pre-order it now so that we can get lots of copies in the store and I can hand sell it all the time. I just am very excited. And then I just want to grab, we have, Hillary, I don't know if you want to help me go through this stack. We make these little pre-order cards, which if you've been into the store in person recently, you may have seen our display of pre-order cards, where we highlight some books that are coming out in the next several months, and they have a little barcode on them, and you can bring them to the register, and we'll scan and set up a pre-order for you. And so we have a few here. I'll talk about this one coming out in March. It's called Maddie and Mabel. It's a kid's book, and it's written by one of our local authors, and she's a regular, Carrie Allen. She shops with us all the time. We all know her super well, and we're very excited for her new... I think she's got two new books coming out, but this one comes out in March and looks very sweet, so we're excited for that.
I'm holding a stack in my hand here, and this is interesting. Bernard Cornwall... has a new one coming out December 7th called Sharp's Assassin. People love these Richard Sharp books. It's a series. And Bernard Cornwall also wrote that the series that that Viking show is based on.
I forget the name of it. Yes.
We can figure this out.
He's super prolific.
He's very prolific. Yeah. And I don't think there's been a Sharp book, Richard Sharp book in a while. So it's... Sharp is back. Outsider, hero, rogue, and the man you want on your side. That's what it says. Then, let's see. There is a new book by Isabel Allende coming out called Violetta. Which is, Violetta comes into the world on a stormy day in 1920, the first girl in a family of five boisterous sons. From the start, her life is marked by extraordinary events. The ripples of the Great War are still being felt, even as the Spanish flu arrives on the shores of her South American homeland, almost. So she goes forward into the Depression, and anyway, Isabel Allende is a beautiful writer. I'm sure this is going to be a terrific book. Elizabeth George is a writer of mysteries that I admire a lot. And she has a new one coming out January 11th called Something to Hide. It's in a series that features Detective Inspector Thomas Linley. So this is the next one in that series. She's a terrific writer. And, there are so many in this series at this point that I don't know that you really have to go back to the beginning and read from the beginning. And then Tochi Onyebuchi. This is the person who wrote Riot Baby. It's called Goliath. Coming out January 25th. In the 2050s, Earth has begun to empty. Those with the means and the privilege have departed the great cities of the United States for the more comfortable confines of space colonies. Those left behind salvage what they can from the collapsing infrastructure. As they eke out an existence, their neighborhoods are being cannibalized brick by brick. Their houses are sent to the colonies. Oh my gosh, this sounds powerful. What was once a home, now a quaint reminder for the colonists of the world that they wrecked. A primal biblical epic flung into the future. Goliath weaves together disparate narratives. A space dweller looking at New Haven, Connecticut as a chance to reconnect with blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's... the end line here is a richly urgent mosaic about race, class, gentrification, and who is allowed to be the hero of any history. Mm. That sounds very good. And Leigh Bardugo blurbs it. Mm-hmm. And we like Leigh Bardugo a lot. So sounds excellent. Goliath coming out January
25th. Mm. That sounds amazing. Yeah. And then Elizabeth would be remiss if I didn't shout out From Bad to Cursed, the sequel to Payback's a Witch, yes, coming out next year. Very excited for that.
Yeah. Like, love Payback's a Witch.
We love Payback's a Witch. And From Bad to Cursed, we're looking forward to that.
Is it in the same in the
Yes, I believe series? It yeah. is. She talked about the next two in the series, so I don't remember which romance this one is, but there's at least three that we'll get, and she's focusing on different members of the magical families, and
but the characters from the first one are gonna be
they're gonna be in it, they're gonna be like adjacent. Yeah.
And who wrote it?
Lana Harper.
Okay.
I'm very excited for that one.
Gay witches, everybody, you should check it out.
We love it. So that is some of the pre-orders that we are very excited for. We'll put all those links in the show notes, obviously, but also on our homepage, on the website, there is always an active list of upcoming pre-orders that you can browse anytime. We add to it as we, you know, come up with things, the buyers mm-hmm. add to it, things like that. So there's a running list of things that are coming out. And then if you come to the store in person, you know, come browse our pre-order display as well, because we make those cute little pre-order cards and you can see what's coming out. It was actually funny when I was hanging up a couple of them and I mentioned something to John. I had the Hanya Yanagihara one and I was hanging that up. And John and I started chatting about it, and a customer off to the side was like, wait, what? Tell me more. And, like, grabbed the card from me. It was very cute. So, yay, pre-orders. We love pre-orders. We're very excited for all of the wonderful books coming out. And, yeah, pre-orders can make great gifts. You can just tell someone, hey, I bought you a gift. It's going to be here in May. That's fine. In May they get a present. That's awesome. It's paid for. It's all they get a free book awesome. In a few months.
And we mentioned a bunch that are coming out in January.
Yeah, there's a bunch coming out in January.
You have to make them wait. You can mm-hmm. also do that.
Mm-hmm. So yes, we are in the last vestiges of events for the year. So we've got a few virtual events coming up in December. On the 2nd, we are doing a virtual event with Brené Brown. Very exciting. Nice. It's us and, you know, we've got a few of these events where it's like us and some other indie bookstores sort of collaborating, mm-hmm. which is very cool. So that is December 2nd at 8 p.m. And then December 3rd is Midnight Merriment.
Woo!
So excited!
They have me only working until 4:30 that day. I don't get to dress up.
I mean, you still could, and you could just, like, hang out in the store and not have to work.
Maybe I'll just wear an evening gown to work at 8 in the morning.
Do it. For those of you listening who have never attended Midnight Merriment, first of all, you're missing out. Please come this time. The Main Street does this thing the first Friday of December. It's called Midnight Merriment, and most of the stores on Main Street stay open super late. We are here until midnight. There are amazing deals that go on. There's carolers. There's hot cocoa vendors. I think Santa usually hangs out on Main Street, so you might get a sneak peek of Santa. It's super fun. We at Gibson's, the Midnight Crew, as I like to call us, we don our formal wear, ball gowns and tuxes galore, And starting around 5 or 6, we start having discounts throughout the store that increase every hour. So it starts at 5% off everything in the store. And by the last hour, 11 p.m. to midnight, everything in the store, with a few exceptions, is 25% off, which is a discount that you don't get very often. It is a great time to come do some holiday shopping and just, you know, see Michael in a tux and Elizabeth and I in our ball gowns and Jim in a Santa hat.
Ryan usually dresses as a Disney princess.
Pretty true.
It's very worth seeing.
It's, yeah. Yeah. I don't, I might get a new dress this year just because I've been wearing the same one in the 9 years that I've worked here. I've worn it 9 years in a row. It was also my prom dress 2 years ago in high school. So I might get a new dress. We'll see. But it will still be a ball gown and it will still be delightful. So that is December 3rd. And then the next week we have book club on the 6th. We're chatting about The Inquisitor's Tale by Adam Gidwitz, which is a middle grade book. It's super good. And it'll
be fun. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, this is definitely an adult book club. But this is a book that one of our members brought and said, I'd really like to do this book.
Yeah.
She had read it and she said, you know, it's one of those books that has a lot of crossover appeal to adults.
Yeah.
And we try to read something that's not too long.
Yes.
Yeah.
For the holidays, because people are super busy.
Right.
So there's probably still time
to
come get the book and read it if you want to come.
My mom's in the book club. She just finished it and she loved it.
Oh, good.
And it's my last book club.
Oh.
I'm retiring from the bookstore as of January 1st. So this is my last book club. Aww. So
definitely come. Yeah. We should have like a cake or something. I know we're not really like sharing food, but we should do something.
Well, we can just have a cake and then we all eat it in the bathroom.
You can look at this cake.
You can admire.
We'll show the book club a picture of cake. And then the last two events in December, one that I am very excited for, December 7th, a virtual event. This is another sort of like us and other bookstores. Michael J. Fox.
Ooh.
No Time for the Future. It's the paperback launch, and it's the only event he's doing for it.
Wow.
I love Michael J. Fox. I have loved him my whole life. And I am so starstruck by this event. I'm so excited. That is the 7th at 7 p.m. And then on the 14th, we have New Hampshire Poet Laureate Alexandria Peary doing a virtual event with us about her book of poetry called Battle of Silicon Valley at Daybreak, which is a great title.
It is.
And that's it for the rest of the year. That's all the events we've got for the rest of the year. Oh, we are busy beavers here at the bookstore. So come in, stop in, say hi. You can place orders online. I'm one of the ones processing them, so say hi in the comments and I'll say hi back. I think that's all I have. So, you know, obviously we've got our Libro FM partnership. Listeners who are new to Libro FM, you can receive 3 digital audiobooks for the price of 1 credit by using the code LAYDOWN at checkout when you start a new membership. You know, you can do a gift membership. If you have someone in your family who loves audiobooks and you would like them to switch to Libro FM, you can buy a 6-month, 12-month subscription for them. It's kind of a cool gift. So that's an idea. You can also gift individual audiobooks as well. But yeah, we love them. So support them because they support us. Let's see. You can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is gibsonsbookstore.com, and we're also on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And we'll put those links in the show notes along with all of the books that were mentioned during this episode. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the stacks. Bye!